Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues, Etc. journal.
This is a personal gift from the United States government designed to bring death to the enemy.
I'm sorry, Sergeant. I can't touch a gun.
You don't kill.
No, sir.
You know, quite a bit of killing does occur in war.
Private Doss does not believe in violence. Do not look to him to save you on the battlefield.
I don't think this is a question of religion. I think this is cowardice.
I fell in love with you because you weren't like anyone else. You're saying you could go to prison.
I don't know how I'm gonna live with myself if I don't stay true to what I believe.
With the world so set on tearing itself apart, doesn't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
Private Doss, you are free to run into the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to protect yourself.
Get you home.
There's something you gotta see.
Who did this?
That's the car.
We have to go back up tomorrow. And they're not gonna go up there without you.
Help me get one more.
That's a trailer for the movie Hacksaw Ridge. Someone coming out of church a couple Sundays back said you must see this movie. We're going to be reviewing it here. It's from the director Mel Gibson, who's made a couple other war movies. How does it stack up against his other war movies? Centered around a man who refuses to do violence or carry a weapon at the time of war, especially in one of the bloodiest battles of the late Pacific War, when you talk about Hacksaw Ridge with Pastor Ted Giese. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, December the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our movie review, we're going to welcome Dr. Ken Sherb for part 45 of our series with him on Martin Luther and the Reformation, staying in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 38 through 42 of Matthew chapter 5. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and turn the other cheek. Holly Shear will be our guest to talk about preparing for Christmas through the season of Advent. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about how Scripture really defines Israel as opposed to how it's often defined in Pop American Christianity. And then, since it's Friday, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last 25 minutes of the program. You can go and vote in advance already for our four soundbites, one of them to be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Or you can wait and vote live by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can vote via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, via tweet, @issuesetc. Or as I said, go vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to review the movie Hacksaw Ridge, Pastor Ted Giese. He's a regular guest, has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Mel Gibson, the director of this film, has made other war movies. How does Hacksaw Ridge stack up to those more famous of his movies now?
Well, he has a long history with war movies. I think the first one I ever saw him in was a movie called Gallipoli. It was a World War I war film, and it was from 1981, I guess. One of the ones, that probably one of the most famous ones, is the movie Braveheart, where he both acted in it and then starred in it. And in that one, the real engine for the film was this guy's love for his wife, and then she died, and then he, right, you know, it's a true story about a guy, and he helps the Scots fight against the British. Epic movie. So this movie also is, you know, in that kind of epic vein. It's a bit of a smaller story. It's not, we're not looking at a general in the midst of everything. We're looking at a private, this private Desmond Doss. And so it's maybe a little more personal story in some ways. It's maybe not, the epic scope is a little bit narrowed in, but it is an epic kind of film. So, and then also in the midst of it is this love story that's there. Now, there is a love story between this Desmond Doss and a lady named Dorothy. And Desmond Doss was a real man, and it's a true story. But I just was listening to an interview with Mel Gibson, and he says that it's a bigger love story than that, and that he also looks at the love that Desmond Doss had for Jesus, his Savior, and then responding to that love in his actions during wartime in this World War II movie. So I would say that, you know, his characters always have an underpinning, something bigger going on with them, and while there's lots of blood and guts, it's a war film, you kind of end up going along this film, unlike other ones of his, where for the first half of the film, you're not in a wartime situation, really. There's a little bit at the very beginning, but then you kind of lead into the actual battle sequence stuff. So once the battle starts, you suddenly go, oh yeah, I'm in a Mel Gibson movie here. And it's jarring and very gory and brutal and pulls no punches.
It is set in the context, as you said, a true story, but set in the context of probably one of the most bloody battles of the late war period, the Battle of Okinawa. And it is telling the story of a young man who he will cooperate, but he will not take life. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is the kind of peculiar twist in the movie itself and in the story of this man's life. So Desmond Doss was a private and in World War II, and he basically, because of his Seventh-day Adventist beliefs, refused to actually fight or pick up a gun, but he was more than happy to go into the battle, and what he wanted to do most was be a medic. This caused all sorts of consternation along the way, particularly in basic training, where you have characters like the drill sergeant played by Vince Vaughn, who then says that, you know, you can't rely on this guy to save you on the battlefield to his other, you know, the recruits that he's training with. So it creates this tension that's there in the first part of the film, getting to, you know, what's going to happen when you actually get on the battlefield? How is this going to play out? And his conscientious objector—he's an objector, so he doesn't want to fight. And Mel Gibson goes into the reasons for that, and it's actually one of the more poignant kind of little religious moments in the movie. And whether it happened like this exactly in real life, I don't know, but Desmond Doss says that he had this in his house. So basically, there's this picture on the wall that's got the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer in it. And as a kid, he's looking at that picture, and he's about to be punished for something that he did with his brother. They were fighting, and he sees the picture of Cain and Abel next to the commandment, "Thou shalt not murder," and of course he says, "Thou shalt not kill," and from that point on, and another little episode that happened in the life of the family really galvanized him as somebody who didn't want to take life but would rather want to save life.
His objections here are conscientious. He is willing to do whatever he can on the battlefield. When it gets to the actual, you know, sequence of battle, how does the arc of the character run there?
Well, this is the part, like the very, very beginning of the movie. Like, you sit down in the theater, the movie just starts, and it starts with this passage from Isaiah, and it's the actor, Andrew Garfield, who plays Desmond Doss, giving the voiceover of this passage from Isaiah 40, 30 to 31. And the Bible passage is, "Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So you have this voiceover at the very beginning, and it's in the middle of the kind of ravages of the battle kind of happening, and then you go back in time, right? And then when you finally get to the actual battle, they end up retreating, but he doesn't kind of retreat with them. He stays up there, and he's while the rest of them have packed it in to maybe fight another day, he's up there grabbing men and pulling them out one at a time, even as they're having artillery hit from naval artillery hit the escarpment. He's in there in the midst of all of it, in the honeycombs of all of the Japanese, like tunnels and things, grabbing men, pulling them out one at a time. And he's praying, you know, Lord, I just want to save one more. Just one more. And, you know, the army says he saved 100 men. He says he saved 50. They split the difference and say 75. And then he gets his, eventually, a Medal of Honor citation for that. But that's what you see. It, like, the guts of the movie, in a way, is him in a very dangerous situation without a gun of his own helping men on the battlefield.
Let's examine kind of the premise of the film from a Christian perspective, because it's certainly depicted in the film as a Christian conviction that he acts under, leaving aside whether or not Seventh-day Adventists are erring Christians or not. It is not necessarily true that Christians are opposed to all killing, especially within the vocation of soldier or law enforcement. Talk about that, if you will.
Yeah, you know, Mel Gibson's pretty careful to make sure that it's covered in the film that this is not the prevailing view of all Christians. And, you know, but this is your central character, this Desmond Doss, and this man really had this conviction, and he sticks to his conviction. But yeah, the majority of Christians will not see a moratorium against all killing. They will see it against murder. So from Scripture, if you look at, for instance, when soldiers come to John the Baptizer to ask, what should we do to avoid the judgment of God? He doesn't tell them to not carry on their work of being a soldier. Instead, he tells them that the kind of work that they do, they should do it in a particular way. So he says, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. So that's what we find in Luke chapter 3. And of course, the fifth commandment itself is not, you shall not kill, it's you shall not murder. So soldiers and police officers and, you know, people, part of the general public, can be tempted towards hurting people or tempted towards using excessive force or tempted towards murder, but that is not, you know, something that they should fall victim to. They should resist that temptation. But in the line of duty for soldiers and for police officers, they may have to take a life in order to save other lives. And that's part of what you find in Romans chapter 13, when St. Paul is talking about how the leaders, our kings, the rulers, carry the vocation of the sword, and that they punish wrongdoers, and that God metes out his wrath in that way. So we would say that there's certainly a lot of room for government, and by extension of government, the soldiers, to exercise the office of the sword. And that's something that, this is the irony of this whole movie, is that there's kind of a straw man thing going on. Like, they, on the one hand, you've got the guy with the conviction not to kill, and on the other hand, you have the people whose job it is to actually go and do this, because it has to be done. The false dichotomy is that you don't actually have to pick one or the other. Both things are necessary to get the job done. Not everybody involved in military is in a combat role. And you have doctors and different people like that who are military personnel who are not actively engaged in killing at all. And I think that, you know, in the end, that's what wins the day, is the cooperation, not the antagonism between these two points of view.
Does he thread the needle well enough? Does Gibson thread that needle well enough? Or he's trying to show both sides, but you said there's a bit of a straw man. What's your judgment there?
You know, the whole film kind of redeems itself in the last battle. Now the first battle is jarring and gory and visceral. The second one is a little more romanticized. But essentially, that one takes place on a Saturday. And, of course, Seventh-day Adventists, you know, won't work on a Saturday. And he is asked if he would work on the Saturday. Now, this gets into a whole other thing I didn't even mention in the review, but the idea of, is the Sabbath made for man or man for the Sabbath, right? So he does decide he's going to work on the Sabbath, but not until he's done his devotions, right, and prayed. So before they go up the escarpment, they literally wait for Desmond Doss to finish his prayers. And when he's done his prayers, at that moment, then the vocational angle of all of it comes out, and the captain says, okay, let's go to work. And he uses the word work, and then they all go up the escarpment, and they make their final push. And then you see everybody in kind of cooperation and the respect there for each other, for his faith. And that's kind of where the movie kind of redeems itself. So you kind of have to kind of go through ordeal to get there, but it does come through at the end.
You say the film obviously earned its R rating. How's that?
Listen, this is something kind of on the category of movies like Hamburger Hill, or it, as far as war movies go, like there's people without limbs, there's people being shot in the head. It's brutal. Like the violence is brutal and not for the faint of heart. So it's not going to be for everybody. So if somebody's like, I want to go see a good Christian film or something, it's like it has very strong Christian themes and it does shine through. But this is not going to be for everybody. You know, there is a lot of pretty horrific moments in the movie itself. But that's kind of what I would mean by that.
Well, just so people are fairly warned, you're not saying it's gratuitous, but perhaps just simply realistic to what these men actually went through.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have not been on the battlefield, so I can't tell you how realistic it is. It comes off more realistic than what you normally see. That first battle is very unromanticized in a lot of ways. People are randomly dying. A lot of times with romanticized kind of imagery, it's leading up to some major thing where the guy dies. But this is the randomness of it, the jarringness of it, this is the part that makes it feel all the more real. And then also just the gory nature of some of the ways in which people are died, or the ways in which they come across dead bodies and the condition that the bodies are in. There's a little, not very much dignity sometimes in the midst of that. And this character of Desmond Doss does want to show dignity to these men and cares about them, even when other people would write them off as, that one's not worth saving. He wants to save them. So this is kind of a part of the movie.
You can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of the movie Hacksaw Ridge under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, Holly Shearer will join us. We'll talk about preparing for Christmas through Advent. Stay tuned.
Is dressing up to be there too. Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Christmas is a holy day, not just an ordinary holiday. It's when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why Emmanuel Press keeps Jesus as the focus of all their Christmas cards. And that's why they use the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns inside the cards to confess our hope in Christ. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to see a variety of cards, including a brand new card for 2016. EmmanuelPress.us.